Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Sideline reporter for Bears Radio, WBBM.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
I totally know this guy. We talked to each other and to you, the listeners, yesterday for 4 hours. But today, he's back in the most important role the man has ever, ever filled. Bears guy. Bears. Hello, Mark Grody.
I'm back in my happy place. I am in Lake Forest for, I guess you could say, the first full Bears training camp in Lake Forest. I know they were here last year, but everything was stunted last year because of COVID-19. One of the back parking lots is set up similar to what Bourbonnais was in terms of the fan experience, a carnival-like atmosphere. You've got bleachers, extra bleachers set up on one of the fields here in Lake Forest that we had never seen it like this before. And it's going to be interesting. Thursday would be is the first day when they will allow up to 1,000 fans to be here at Lake Forest to watch the Bears practice. But guys, a lot going on today. There was no practice today, but we talked to a lot of people, including
Matt. Hold on a second.
Yes.
Because really, what you're doing, painting the picture, is a thing of beauty that I know that me and Ranger both absolutely want. Like, I remember those glorious day ones at Bourbonnais or even Platteville when, like, somebody would call in and say, the porta potties are here. They're lined up and ready to go. You know what I mean? Like, so keep painting the picture. Can you see practice fields? Do you know how it's going to look for you guys?
Yeah, no, there are tents all over the place, first of all. So because you have, like, all sorts of different fan experiences. I don't know if there are promotional, you know, situations that will occur tomorrow like they did in Bourbonnais with fun little tents and things like that. We have not been able to get into the fan experience area as of yet because it's still a work in progress before they get it all done on Thursday. But one of the main fields that is closest to the work area that we are in at Hallis Hall, it's just really interesting to see bleachers set up out there. Like, obviously in the times that I've been here over the last decade, there's been nothing like that. There's fencing that is set up throughout the entire, landscape of Hallis Hall. And you see signs and arrows this way, that way. The way it's going to work for the fans, too, is that there will be shuttle parking from one of the malls in Lake Forest that will obviously shuttle fans to and fro. They bring their cars there. I think there's limited actual parking space for some fans here, but for the most part, that has to be remote. I'll say this. I didn't know exactly how they were going to pull this off because they had so much room in Bourbonnais. They had enough room in Bourbonnais that they could allow 10,000 fans in there. So if you've never been to Bourbonnais, that should give you an idea of the space they were dealing with. They were dealing with a college campus. Here it's, half that. But it looks like with the space that they have, and we'll see it in action. I'll have a better description on Thursday. With the space they have, it looks good. It really does. Yeah. So it looks like they're pulling it off. Let's put it that way.
It's just awesome they've decided to pull out all the stops for the beginning of Dolphins camp, you know?
Yeah, the Bears will practice with the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. That was asked about today, like, why the Dolphins? And there was really no reason to it. It was just like, well, it worked for us, it worked for them, so hello, Miami Dolphins. They'll be here later in camp.
Yeah. Their schedules work out. All right, but now get to the important stuff. If there was any stuff and sound of consequence from day one of camp, I imagine it starts with Justin Fields.
It does. And, yeah, let's get right into that with Matt Nagy. And we know that Andy Dalton is the starting quarterback. But here I've left the question on for full context. Take a listen to this about Justin Fields to Matt Nagy.
Matt, you're saying there's going to be plenty of reps for Justin Fields in preseason games. What if he goes out and just crushes it? Is there anything?
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Could he convince you, if he's getting lots of reps and playing really well, could he convince you he's the right guy to start, or is that him?
There's for Justin, for Andy, for Nick, their job is to go into this thing and do exactly what you just said, is just dominate. And then for all of us to make it as hard as you possibly can at every position. And so we don't even get into that part of it. We just say, listen, go play ball, be the best you can be. And trust me, just like everybody in here in our city, I want Justin Fields to be electric. That's what we all want. You know, for us, we're worried about today. That's all we can. And y'all saw that Giannis, that little quote he said. I mean, that's going up in all four of my kids' bedrooms. Because we can't worry about the past, you can't worry about the future. We're going to worry about right now, today. That's all we can do.
Yeah, and we'll know it when we see it. That's what Matt Nagy said at the beginning. That's the one that I stick to. A couple other things to add to this before I want to hear how you guys feel about what Matt Nagy just said. The question was also asked of Nagy today. If you are trying to move Fields along slowly, that Andy Dalton is a starter with the idea that he's not ready, that you want to develop him, it's a good question to ask. Why is Justin Fields then the number two quarterback? Because that would mean that if Andy Dalton was to go down, you have your undeveloped quarterback there. He was asked that question directly today, and Nagy said it is simply because they can get him more reps now. Now, if something happens to Dalton, then everything just goes crazy, and then you have maybe an unfinished product, but everybody would have their wish of Justin Fields starting.
So it doesn't sound like an outright no. You know, he's asked the question, could he do anything to force your hand to let him start week one? I mean, they're clearly not totally ruling out that idea, right?
Correct. And what's interesting, Ranji, is that when last we spoke to Matt Nagy a month ago or whatever it was during the mandatory minicamp, he kind of, in his very nice, polite, Matt Nagy way, asked us to stop asking about Justin Fields and saying that, hey, Andy Dalton is a starter. Not only were there many questions about Justin Fields today, but there was that one from Mike Berman of Channel 5. And Matt Nagy answered it, as you heard, enthusiastically and with a slight change in tone, a little difference of, you know, yeah, we want to see that too. We hope he surprises us. We hope we see it. We hope we know it. And that was the tone of Matt Nagy today, which is different from what it was during the mandatory minicamp. So for those who are, and it's most people, wanting to see Justin Fields, that I suppose is progress in terms of words.
My God, day one for Andy Dalton means an onslaught of Justin Fields questions, and that will be the case all the time for him. And we've seen how these things can sometimes play out, where you keep asking the questions, wondering if a dude is annoyed at the situation, and then eventually he might get annoyed at the questions, and that can be read as him being annoyed at the situation, you know? So, like, I'm anticipating that dynamic at some point this month, but how did he deal with the attention to Fields' attention on day one?
Well, yeah, and so naturally, your guy Grody was the first one to ask him about Justin Fields today, and here's how that went.
Sounds bad.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton,
didn't want to talk about it.
No. You're the starting quarterback for the Bears, but there is this first-round pick and Justin Fields. I know, you know, during OTAs you should have a great relationship with him, but how do you process all of that and all the attention that he is getting and is going to get?
Yeah, I mean, it comes with that position. He's a first-round pick. I understand that. But I also understand that I'm the starter, and I understand that I knew I signed a one-year deal. I knew that I was going to come in. I was going to be the starter, regardless of the situation coming in. And so that's my focus. I'm not worried about all the stuff that's going to be going on with Justin, because that doesn't affect me. At the end of the day, it's what I'm going to be doing and everything. And Justin and I have a really good relationship, and I'm trying to help him out as much as I can.
That's Andy Dalton on Justin Fields. I think I might have botched that in the pre-part when I was talking live here. But it sounds like, and Spiegel, you brought this up yesterday when we were hosting about, like, should one have sympathy for Andy Dalton and what he's going through? Yeah, you can if you'd like. But Andy Dalton, you know, seeing him live and in person for the first time, because we weren't on Zoom today, he gets it. He understands. I don't think you need to worry about him. He has been out with Justin Fields, like, to dinner. It sounds like they genuinely have a good relationship, and it sounds like he's cool with playing the part of this guy is entering his 11th camp this year is Andy Dalton. He understands it's a one-year deal, and he understands who the backup quarterback is.
And I think he has to have understood when they signed him that this was a team that might very well draft a guy, right? Like, this isn't lost on him. I think he has to know what the situation looked like here, and they might be looking to have somebody beyond him, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he obviously came in here before they drafted Justin Fields, but he was well prepared before the draft that something might happen. I know Matt Nagy called him the night of the draft, or perhaps it was the day after, to talk to him again. So the communication has been wide open with Andy Dalton, and I don't know. I can just sort of tell in his posture, his demeanor, the way his like, very, very excited today, Andy Dalton was, to talk, and he seemed very affable with the media. So I think he understands these questions. I don't know if we could ask them forever to Andy Dalton. You know, it probably will get exhausting after a while. But it's last call for Andy Dalton in terms of, he knows he might have 3 or 4 games to show that he's still a starting quarterback in the NFL. So not only is he playing for this year and for the Bears, he's playing for his future and what the second half of his proverbial quarterback life is going to be like. So, yeah, he knew what he was getting into, and he continues to know what he's getting into. And quite frankly, it's just now beginning.
Well, that's good, because he's got an important role to play, and it sounds like he's thoroughly understanding and willing to play it. Roquan Smith broke news earlier today when he told everybody that Eddie Goldman was there and that he looked
yes,
good.
He did.
Because
yes.
Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace had been very confused, or were obfuscating, or just genuinely didn't know if Eddie Goldman had walked in yet. But
we're going through that, right? Like, literally, as we speak.
We're going through that.
Yeah. Was he there or not?
Or not.
Yeah.
So
and thank you. Well, I followed up
hey,
later
yeah,
with
for
that.
Thanks for clarifying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I tried later on, and Ryan Pace said that the guys were literally just coming in now. But then there's the part two where Ryan Pace said he had seen Eddie Goldman and he looks great. And then, as you guys said correctly, it was Roquan Smith who said, with a big smile on his face in front of us today at Hallis Hall, saying that, yes, I saw Eddie Goldman was the first person I saw. And I think he even asked one of the reporters, have you guys seen him yet? We're like, no, man, we haven't
That's
seen
awesome.
Him. We're so hearing about him, haven't seen him.
So Roquan Scoops Smith is at it. And when he wasn't scooping, he was talking about maybe sticking around for a possible contract extension, Groats?
You know, he's entering his fourth year. The fifth-year option's been picked up. And just for a little background, the 49ers did sign linebacker Fred Warner to a 5-year, $95 million. Yeah. What's that, Speaks?
No, I said, yeah, they did. Big deal.
Oh, yeah, they did. They sure did. Darius Leonard of the Colts, I know he's a little bit banged up right now, but there is talk that he may get a bigger deal. So Roquan Smith could end up in the same boat as he looks at all the big bucks going to some of his colleagues around the league. What do you think about that, Mr. Smith?
There were some pretty big contracts given to inside linebackers in the last week or so. Did you make note of that? And with your own potential extension ado?
I'm happy for those guys. You know, like, hey, make the money while you can make it, you know. But my time will come. I'm not too worried about that. I still have a lot to prove. So that's my focus right now on proving a lot of different things. So I'm just excited for the year.
What do you have to prove?
Just how good I am.
Yeah, I think, you know, Roquan wasn't going to say it necessarily, but you could kind of infer from some of his tweets last year that he was not happy that he was left off the Pro Bowl, that he was not all pro. And I think a lot of people in the media kind of made the case for him. And I guess he feels he still has that next step, or maybe to get, he's got our attention. I don't know that he has the national audience's full attention yet. And I think that's what he needs to get this year.
Well, what's interesting is it's not the only guy on the roster who may not be totally happy with his contract status, and that is the other guy that we're talking about here is their receiver, Allen Robinson, their number one guy. How is he approaching camp now, knowing that it did not turn out the way I think any of us wanted to turn out?
Right. Well, I mean, I think it's telling that Allen Robinson, who, of course, is playing on the franchise tag this year, was front and center today and one of the first, you know, players to agree to speak to us. And he was as engaging as ever. But yes, I'm going to say it. Could he be playing with that proverbial chip on his shoulder? Here's A-Rob.
Are you further motivated by the fact that you didn't get the contract done and that you could become a free agent at the end of this year?
To be honest, you know, that's not really – I'm not going to say it's not motivation, but I'm not really focused on that. You know, again, I mean, I just want to go out there and end up be the best player that I could be. You know, everything else when it comes to that stuff, for the most part, to take care of itself. You know, I'm not in this to prove nobody right or wrong or anything like that, you know. It's just about going out there, being myself, being the best player that I could be, and seeing how much I can do and how far I could take myself, you know. I still feel like it's a lot of my game that's untapped, you know. So continuing to be able to challenge myself and, you know, being able to see what I could do. That's what it comes down to. It's me versus me, you know, me just challenging myself to continue to get better each and every day, each and every week.
To that end, Robinson referred to this as his most productive offseason ever, Spiegs, and he also hired a speed coach with whom he worked in Florida in the offseason.
That's exactly what I was going to follow up with. So the speed coach, that's interesting. Yeah. He wants to get better top-end speed to go deep and such?
Yeah, because, I mean, Allen Robinson is not slow, but he doesn't have that explosive next level thing. I mean, at the end of the day, Allen Robinson is a possession wide receiver and a great one at that, but he is not up there with the rest of the burner. So I think he is looking just to add that. I don't know how effective speed coaches are and what past results have been, if it really tacks on, you know, bursts of speed and small spaces. But, you know, with somebody like Allen Robinson, you know, he probably could add that on. And, you know, he's been talking about this since OTAs. It sounds like he's not happy with his season, as good as it was last year, that he thought he should have made more plays. And why not, if you're a wide receiver, attempt to add a little more speed to your game? So that's interesting that a guy who is professional through and through had what, again, he calls his best offseason to date.
Groats, the other side of the ball where the defense is, it needs to be good. We'll see what Sean Desai brings to the table as the coordinator. What does the coach think about the state of the defense as it stands?
So this is the most commanding that I have ever heard Matt Nagy speak about the defense, because he's always sort of put that to the side from the day he walked in. That's for Vic Fangio. That's for Chuck Pagano. That's for this year, Sean Desai. But listen to Matt Nagy's energy talking about the defense right here. What has to happen?
A ton of takeaways and turnovers. Just a ton of them. Like, everywhere you look, I want that ball coming out. I want fumbles, interceptions, tip passes. I mean, like, when they go to bed and I just think about intercepting the football, you know, stripping that football, be like crazy about it. Everywhere you go, like, we have to get takeaways this year. And I think we got a lot of guys that are ready for it. I know Sean, Coach Desai, is really excited to do some emphasis drills with that. And we went through that a few years ago, and you can see what that can do. I mean, that can really help out. So, but we as coaches, we got to talk about it. You can't just go out and expect it to happen.
Yeah, and I would think nobody more symbolic of that gentleman. It almost felt like he was talking to Eddie Jackson. You know what I mean? He had exactly zero interceptions last year. It was a down season for Eddie Jackson, who we know what he is capable of based on 2018 and some of 2019. We know that he can be great and get to that next level, but it sounds like it goes for the entire defense.
Well, that's very interesting. Go ahead, Ranger.
Yeah, I mean, another part of that is pressure. Just putting pressure on a quarterback. And I know he talked a little bit about Khalil Mack today in that, because he's still a good defensive player, but you know what we saw last year wasn't quite what we saw in that first season with the Bears. I mean, how ultimately, or where is the responsibility as far as getting him to be a bigger part? I mean, he's already very good, but to get him back to where he was just a couple of years ago, where he was off the charts.
Yeah, there's two things I would say. Number one, I mean, it finally was revealed at the, I can't remember if it was at the end of last season or in one of the OTAs, that he was pretty banged up last year. And every time we asked about injuries last year, for the most part, they were not willing to reveal it. But it sounds like he was pretty banged up, and, you know, in a very general soreness was for real for him last year. That's right. The other part is Robert Quinn. And I know we always talked about that in regards to Leonard Floyd, and he needs to compliment Khalil Mack, but Robert Quinn did not have the year that the Bears expected him to have last year. So he is going to be the guy that is going to be scrutinized, I think, even more than Khalil Mack this year. And if he is low volume sacks in the first four or five games this year, I mean, I would expect heavier rotations from second year man Trevis Gibson. Jeremiah Tachu is a free agent that they brought in, and even James Vaughters as well. So that's where the spotlight is going to be. And I think, Ranji, I think if Mac truly is healthy, that he will get back to, I think he had 9 sacks last year. I do think he'll get back to double digit sacks. We were supposed to talk to him today. And then he did not, come to talk to us today, so probably tomorrow or the next day. But I'm looking forward to seeing Khalil Mack and hearing from him about how he's doing and how he's feeling and how hungry he is.
So 2018, the Bears led the NFL with 36 takeaways. Then the next 2 years, 19 and 18, were in the bottom 10 in both of the next 2 years. So it makes sense, and that sounded very Lovie Smith-like in terms of having the focus on the turnovers. But I think it's a good catch by you to hear and be on the lookout for Nagy's ownership of the defensive side, because he's got a guy now who works for him very clearly, whereas the previous guys, one was a holdover who was a legend, Vic Fangio, a flat-out legend as a defensive coordinator, and a guy who was here before Matt got here. And then Chuck Pagano has been a head coach and a defensive, another legend of sorts in the NFL. Now he's got a defensive coordinator who works for him and used to work for him as an underling. So this is a good step up, Matt. I mean, be a head coach in full. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know what? And not only is, you know, works for, you know, is Matt Nagy's guy, has been around, not to mention the fact that Sean Desai is a rookie defensive coordinator. So perhaps Matt Nagy feels he needs to take a little bit more ownership, that there needs to be some, I don't know that you say, like, you know, mentoring or tutoring, because we know that Matt Nagy's expertise is offense, but, you know, Sean Desai might need a little help in that regard in terms of commanding that side of the ball. And I think that Matt Nagy has also just grown more comfortable in taking charge of the defense, where it just didn't seem like he was comfortable with that when he first came in.
So I need to know how soon this might happen, and if you're looking forward to the possibility of living with Mark Grody. I ask you that, Chris Ranji. yeah. Are you looking forward to the possibility? Is this a legitimate development and plot line for us to follow?
Yeah, I mean, it is something to follow. We are in a moving in together watch. It is not a warning yet. There has not been a sighting of a lease.
But let's be clear about this, Ranji. It's not just like you're making it sound like we're going to be roommates. No, we're going to move in together and start a family together. We're going to get a house and we're going to start a family together. Yeah. So I think let's be clear about this. And we're talking about adopting I'm thinking like a high school senior. So we get like Perfect. 1 year with him yeah. or her, and then they're off to college. And then
That's
we're.
Right.
I got to tell you, this aspect of the possibility takes things in a very different level. It takes things to a very different place, and it gets awkward all of a sudden. And it, frankly, it obfuscates.
All of a sudden.
Yeah. No, the idea, that's what I'm saying. The genuine idea, regardless of guest or ward or adoptee or whatever. The idea of you two gentlemen who find yourselves single at this moment in your lives,
right.
living together, I find that delightful in a Felix Unger, Oscar Madison sort of way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think that it's just, it's sort of like, here we are, again, as you said, Speaks, at this point in our lives. Can we do something unique and different from what everybody else does? Get
right.
married, have a couple
so
kids.
So boring.
Move to the suburbs. Same. You're with the same person
same
every
people.
Day.
Oh,
and we've
let's
talked
go to
about
Chili's.
This. We've talked about this, like Ranji and I, we could be dating other people. You know,
right.
obviously we're not dating Chris and I, but there could be nights where we're like, we tell our respective girlfriends, hey, Chris and I need a night together. We're going to go see a movie. You girls are on your own because Chris
right.
and I, we need the time. We need the time.
And we're raising a 15-year-old. So what?
We got to pick the kid up from driver's ed and we got to look at colleges and yeah.
There's a 15-year-old out there that needs parents.
There's plenty of them.
Right.
There's
yes.
plenty of them. And
yes.
absolutely. It's just, yeah, no, there's, I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to leave that
okay.
image alone. But I feel like you're toying with my emotions and maybe the listeners as well. I was excited about this as a genuine possibility, but you seem to have a level of irony about it, Ranji, that makes me think this is never going to happen. Frankly.
Absolutely not. This is a great idea. We're still trying to work out the logistics.
Yeah, we've been talking to some realtors. Do we want to rent the house? Do we actually want to buy the house? Apparently, the housing market is really good right now, which means
yeah,
we're not going to get a great
right.
yeah. So we're not going to get a great deal. So there's a lot of do I move towards Chris? Does Chris move towards me? So there's a lot
yeah.
of things, and we've had some like we've had a few scuffles along the way, but
yeah.
but that we don't want to get into all that here right now.
Yeah, we're trying to work out the picket fence situation. We haven't decided on it yet or not.
Right.
right, and vacations and things like
and
that.
And vacations,
so,
right.
Yeah,
parties.
They suggest white as the color for the picket fence.
And then Dave the Cat. Dave the Cat's a problem because Chris doesn't like
yeah.
cats. So
not a cat person.
We got a problem there.
Oh,
yeah.
no. Oh.
Yep.
Cats are just, they're just horrible.
Don't start. Don't start.
A texter would like to be adopted. He's 41 years old. He's wondering
sure.
if you guys could adopt him, bring him in,
can
and
we,
take him
can
to driver's
rent?
Ed. He clearly
can we just
needs
lease
to
him? The 41-year-old will lease you. We'll lease you for a year.
Do we get if we get some sort of tax benefit, do we, from a 41-year-old?
I don't know if you can claim a 41-year-old as a dependent. I really don't know.
Well,
we're holding interviews. We'll interview. We'll talk about income and things like that. What can you contribute to the family? It's about the family. It's always about the family.
I love this one texter who says, not this again.
It is the
oh,
third
yes.
time now.
Oh, yes. It is indeed think, this again.
You're yeah, back. It was born during the pandemic, during transition, as
sure.
I recall, I think.
Oh, God. It's 670 The Score. Grody, you're the best. We'll talk to you, man. Thank you.
Bye, guys. See you.
Congratulations on being back in your happy Bears place.
Thank
he
you.
He is Chris Ranji. I am Matt Spiegel. It is Parkins and Spiegel here on 670 The Score. A hypothetical involving the sure-to-be playoff-bound White Sox was brought up last night and elicited a lot of interesting responses. Want to get Rangers' thoughts and yours next on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On a slider, deep to left field. Benintendi back of the wall, and it's off the base of the fence. Tim was swinging away after the mound meeting, and the throw comes into second base. I believe he was safe. We didn't see a call. He's staying there, and it's second and third for the Sox here in the sixth.
So we'll watch it again.
White Sox television right there last night. It's Spiegs and Ranji here on the Parkinson Spiegel Show. Maury Brown, Bizball Maury on the Twitters, covers sports business and mostly baseball. Don't shake your head at the Twitters, Shane. I'm saying it tongue-in-cheek. There's irony there. I understand I sound like an old. That's a way to not actually come off like an old. Just say it works. It's okay.
Ah, I see what you've done.
See what I'm doing there?
Yeah, adding good job levels, on your part.
Adding levels to this stuff.
So layers.
Thank you. Bizball Maury covers a lot of baseball and TV viewership, and here's the tweet. As of the MLB All-Star break, just five clubs see RSN, that's Regional Sports Network, viewership up over 2019. So five teams compared to 2019 have higher viewership. One of them is the White Sox. Their viewership, as compared to 2019, is up, what he says, a staggering 123%. 123% more people watching White Sox baseball on NBC Sports Chicago this year, 2021, than there were in 2019. That is an alarmingly large jump, Chris Ryan.
And I think it's, very important that we're talking about 2019 numbers and not 2020 numbers.
Yes, because that wasn't baseball. 2020, right. Man, that was not television baseball. That was a different.
Correct. And there were a lot of people. There was a study done. I think it was a Marist poll or something that was done last year about viewership of sports and why it was down so much for a lot of people. And it was something like 25 to 30% of people said they watched less sports because they couldn't be with other people to watch. That they don't necessarily sit at home by themselves and watch it. It's a group activity. Uh-huh. You know, they want to be around others. So there was a built-in reason for people not to be watching. But the fact that these are 123% improvements over what was going on during the last regular baseball season, that has to... And I take this to the how this affects the potential trade market for them. That has to be a boon of some kind for them as an organization. That you're financially, you must be doing at least a little bit better if there is this much added interest from just a couple of seasons ago. There should be some funds there. to do the things you need to do at the deadline.
Absolutely. Yeah. The way that television ratings work, or the way that advertising rates, I should say, work, is like it's retroactive. If the ratings are up there, then the companies end up paying more.
Right.
Because there were more viewers guaranteed. They got more eyeballs. So, yeah, there's absolutely that. And they've been drawing. You know, the crowds have been very solid and impressive, as they should be. You know, this is a moment for the White Sox to be treated like a big market, big league team, and to act like it. So what you're saying is that should translate to expenditures. And I think we've seen it a little with, you know, the Eaton DFA and right. with and with the Lynn extension, even though that's a reasonable number for Lynn to sign for. But, yeah, that should be, you know, I mentioned the Cubs earlier. The White Sox are in the same area in this. I do not want to see them make a single financial concession here at the trade deadline. Like, if Arizona wanted to give them Eduardo Escobar and said, you need to cover all of the remaining prorated portion of his salary, you do it.
Do it. Yep.
You do it. And plus, that helps you protect the quality of your prospects. And this should be a moment when they absolutely do that kind of thing. But I think, the play that came in, the play that Tani used coming in, the highlight with the TA thing, this struck you in a very specific way last night, didn't it, Chris?
Well, with the Keuchel situation,
no,
is that what we're talking about?
I thought that was the play that they didn't understand what was happening because they're not on the road.
Right?
Do I have that right, Tani? Was that the play?
Yeah, the Sox are operating off the Royals home feed, and you know, you don't see the play at second base when Tim Anderson is trying to get in there for a double sliding.
Yes.
So you don't have the benefit of seeing it the first time in real time. So how are Jason Benetti and Steve Stone supposed to know whether or not he was safe?
Right. And so these broadcasters are being hung out to dry, Ranger. And every once in a while, there's a moment where it's obvious, and it drives them crazy, and it drives you crazy too.
There are times where you can get lost in just, you know, watching the game, and maybe you're not paying close enough attention. But then moments like that happen where the play in real time, they did not show the umpire make the safe or out call at the time. And you spend a couple of seconds. I know in the grand scheme of things, this isn't the biggest deal in the world, but it kind of is when you're watching baseball and you want to know, okay, was he safe or was he out? And all the announcers can do is go off of what they're seeing on the live television feed that the rest of us are seeing. That's how you count. It's why you count on them to be in the building so they can relay to you. I just watched that play live without the benefit of the TV, and yeah, the umpire just called him safe. So you're not going to sit there at home and wait for 5 to 10 seconds to find out if he gets to stay there or not. And I know that you guys have talked about this, I'm sure. I know Jason Benetti was on with you recently and went off on this idea.
Yeah.
There is no good reason for those guys to be at home. And it's all about money. It's all about being able to save money because the regional sports networks want to be able to save money. This is no longer a safety issue. Well, maybe it's becoming one again. But it hasn't been a safety issue, even if they've been trying to tell you it is. And it makes the product worse. And a lot of people are watching, you know, like we just mentioned, the 123% increase over a year ago. And the fact that they are not putting together the best product for these added viewers, I think is just it's a shame that they're doing it this way. I understand what they're trying to do, but it isn't good for your customers. It isn't good for the people who are actually watching your product.
I totally agree, and I think there are more moments that are affected by it than anybody would ever know, and it puts broadcasters in a very odd situation because they're constantly fighting the frustration of those kind of moments, and they don't want to come off bitching about it.
Right.
But you also have to you have to think, all right, well, I screwed that up because of this, and boy, I'd like people to know that so I don't so they don't think that I just completely screwed it up by myself. You know, it's an awkward and unfortunate place to put them. And the main thing is that it damages the product for the baseball viewer. 100%.
And it damages the end result from a baseball game. At least the clips that we take from games are I think probably the most important things, right? The most important gems that we get from a baseball game are the home run calls or the big play calls. When there's a ball hit deep, those guys don't really know because they're not in the ballpark to watch the flight of the baseball. So a lot of times those really exciting home run moments are tampered down because they don't know if that's just a regular fly ball or if that's a bomb that just got hit. And I think that ruins those little gems that we get to play over and over again and listen to and watch after the fact. So it's just another reason that they shouldn't be doing it this way, and I wonder when they're finally going to cave and go back to the way it used to be.
Several texters getting in on the White Sox jump in viewership. Here's one that's a jump because the Sox are good.
I agree. Whatever.
Another one said they had 10 viewers in 2019. Now they have 23. That's 123%. No, that's not true, sir. Here's another. See. This White Sox team has this Cubs fan watching White Sox baseball. They are fun and exciting and talented. I wouldn't say I'm a White Sox fan, but I find myself rooting for them. And I think that that is certainly true. Another texter says Sox taking a much larger share of the local fans that just want to watch baseball. Either way, love to see it. Should absolutely translate to more money spent. So, yeah, you know, I mean, look, that's a very exciting, fun, interesting team loaded with really good stories and loaded with possible options for a playoff game start in a prospective game number 4, which we're going to talk about when we come back in a moment on Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Parkins and Spiegel, Spiegs and Ranji on 670 The Score. David Ross says he's heard from MLB about Javier Baez. That's intriguing. I wonder if you guys have heard the Cincinnati Reds broadcast on Javier Baez. We'll get to that at the top of the hour. But I was talking about this last night on Twitter. Chris Ranji, a game one starter for the White Sox in a proverbial 7-game playoff series is who for you? Game one.
This is a really difficult decision for me because the numbers are kind of comparable in the second half. What's alarming for me with Dylan Cease is there's been a progression in the ERA.
Yeah, no, game one I was asking. Is
oh,
it
I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about the Dallas Keuchel thing.
Yeah.
Again, for the second time.
Game one, are you Rodon or Lynn in game one?
I think I go Lance Lynn.
So do I.
Even though, yeah, just because of the experience there, and I think he's got a, not that Carlos Rodon doesn't have an I want to murder you attitude, but Lynn has it a little bit more. I don't think you can go wrong going 1-2 with those two guys.
Okay, so I'm with you. I go Lynn and Rodon, and then Giolito game 3.
Yeah. And
then is the question. And this is what I put out there last night. Dallas Keuchel or Dylan Cease for game 4?
Dude, okay, again, Cease has every single month his ERA has gone up. And from last month to this month, it's a full ERA point, which I think is kind of alarming. But both of those guys have sort of dealt with the same thing. I don't know. I mean, do you go with the experience of Keuchel, who's been off and on in the playoffs, and he was kind of bad last year, but pitched like 3 1/3 and just got totally blown up in that appearance.
And he was supposed to be there for that exact role for Atlanta. They knew they were going to be a playoff team, and they got him to be a playoff pitcher.
Because he had good playoff series 2017 for Houston. So he has been good in the past, but he's also kind of been underwhelming in the postseason. But at least there's that experience there. I guess the only thing you really can do prudently is just wait out the year. And it seems like I'm couching here, but how do you make that call now?
Yeah.
You obviously have
you
to see
have
how
to.
They pitch in August and September. If
right,
you did have to make that call now, I'm probably still going with Dallas Keuchel, but I'm uneasy. No matter what I pick here, I'm a little uneasy about the two of them.
How about Lance Lynn on short rest?
I hate it.
You hate the idea?
I hate.
You didn't like Mickey Lolich winning games 1-4-7 in 1968 for the Tigers, or Bob Gibson 1-4-7. What are you going to talk about? Corey Kluber in 2016, eventually tiring for the Indians by the end of that World Series. You know, why not?
Yes, all of those things. Because
if you have a horse and Lance Lynn is a horse, why not ride the horse?
Well, because Matt, it is not the 60s any longer.
That's
and
true.
these guys are on pitch counts and they're monitored heavily. So I don't like it. And we have seen that ERAs are across the board and not everybody is the same. Some guys can do it better than others. And there are some times where a guy's just going to be great on 3 days rest. But across the board, the numbers for the number one guy, because it's always the number one starter that has to pitch on short rest, their ERAs jump like a full point when they have to go that three games. Like, I believe the number was 4.59. 4.59 was the ERA for, like, all of the, and this was up until a couple of years ago.
I got it right here. From 95 to 2013, that's the most commonly cited study, and it doesn't have anything more recent than 2013, but that was a study where it had from 95 to 2013 short rest starters had gone 31-47 with a 4.59 ERA. And now in 2000 to 2013 there were 54 postseason games where that had short rest starters, and that had a 4.80 ERA and a 1.42 whip. Now, that's great competition, obviously, because it is playoff competition. Fangraphs delved a little deeper in 2017, and it saw that the Ks per nine actually rose, but the walks also rose with it, so maybe they got a little more wild. But it's all, of course, individual, you know? Like,
right.
I can't imagine being the Milwaukee Brewers and giving a game four ball to, I don't know, Adrian Hauser instead of back to Corbin Burns or Brandon Woodruff. Can't imagine doing that.
No. I do feel like the White Sox situation is a little more precarious in that regard. They've had really good starting pitching collectively throughout the year. I just generally don't like the idea of doing that. I mean, you want to rely on your horses whenever you get a chance. I just think you might end up, as far as I'm concerned, it might work out really well for you.
Yeah.
But the other end of it is you blow that guy out and he's not any good. And then you're in trouble after that game four because you didn't allow somebody else to pitch. And now you can't come back with your number one starter on full rest for the following day. And now maybe the series becomes a series if you were about to lock it down, you know? Like, there's just, I don't like the idea of doing it. I'm not saying it can't work, but I prefer to stay away from it. That means pitching Cease or Keuchel. And maybe the two of them will pitch a whole lot better the remainder of the year. I don't really know.
Maybe but so, I understand. And a lot of people said it last night to me and are saying it now on the text lines, Michael Kopech for game four. Folks, I think he's a reliever. A reliever. We'll get back to this if we get a chance later on. We also have the rest of the baseball season to get back to it. That pushed some old man buttons last night. Want to know if it pushed yours? We'll talk about that next on 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.